Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and this is our View of the Opposition show. As I talk to someone who supports Fulham's opposition for the upcoming match, this episode I'll be talking to Larry Guinan, who's an Arsenal supporter. He's on to give us the Arsenal perspective for this upcoming match. Well, before we go on any further, I have to welcome my guest to the show. First time, obviously. Larry, welcome to Cottage Talk. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Russ. Looking forward to it.
Well, listen, let's start here. Tell us a little bit about your history of supporting Arsenal to get us going here.
Sure, yeah. So I started supporting Arsenal I'd probably pinpointed around about 1987 when they beat Liverpool in the League Cup final that year, which not very many teams didn't beat Liverpool around that time when they were, you know, in or at their peak. I was a kid. Most kids, I grew up in Ireland, and most kids were either Liverpool or Man United supporters. Right. And I was always a contrarian. So my dad had a bit of a thing for Arsenal from back when they had a bunch of Irish players back in the early 80s as well. So from around about then, which was a good time to start supporting Arsenal because George Graham was just starting to work his magic. And of course, they won the league a couple of years later in pretty crazy fashion. So it's been supporting them ever since.
Okay, fantastic. So it should be very interesting to talk to you about Arsenal, because we're going to be talking a little bit about Arsene Wenger in just a second. I want to get your thoughts about the differences between the managers. But before we do that, let's talk about your season so far in two parts. Let's start with the first two matches, which were both losses. So just talk to me about the beginning of the Emery era.
Yeah, it was kind of, the fixture list wasn't too kind in terms of putting up Manchester City and Chelsea as the first two games, really. Probably not how he would have preferred to ease into the post-Wenger years. But the first game was really no surprise. It really just served to prove what I think we already knew, which is that Manchester City are just on a different level to Arsenal at the moment. That was a pretty comfortable win for City, and it was at Arsenal were at home in that game, but once City got ahead, Arsenal, they had a couple of chances, but they never really looked like coming to grips with that. And really, the only interesting thing about that game was it was our first glimpse at Emery putting a system in place that was specifically designed to counter the opposition, where he had Ramsey kind of as the highest player up the field, leading a lot of the kind of high pressing. But beyond that, there wasn't really much to take from that game. It just it kind of went as expected. The second game then against Chelsea, that was a little disappointing just because, Chelsea got off to a good start and they went 2-0 up. And Arsenal, at that point, kind of woke up, got back into the game, got it back to 2-2 at halftime. But they were very passive in the second half. They really didn't kind of continue on from where they had during the comeback, and Chelsea ended up winning that 1-3-2. And it felt like there was a point or more there in that game, but they really didn't do anything in the second half, and that was a bit disappointing, particularly because I think most Arsenal fans going into the start of the season, the goal really is to try and get back into that top four as right. The first starting point for Emery. And we probably would expect that Manchester City and Liverpool look to be on a different level. So that leaves probably two places from, four, really, if you're looking at the big six clubs for the last two places, and giving up 3 points to Chelsea at the start of the season. Those could be crucial come the end of the season. So, but at the same time, I don't think there was a lot of panic necessarily. I think it was kind of understood it was tough to have those two games to start off with, and Emery kind of needs some time to get the team going the way he wants them to go.
Well, let's just say you rebounded from that. You've won 7 in a row in all competitions, which is actually excellent. You've beaten West Ham, then you beat Cardiff City, followed by Newcastle United, and you won a match in the Europa League. And that was followed up by victories against Everton, a victory in the League Cup against Brentford, and then you beat Watford. So let me ask you this, because you and I were talking about this off air. Obviously, the victories are great. Finding ways to win is important. And that is one of the things that I've noticed, especially in your last two victories is that you have those moments of magic, those goals that you need to win games. But I was reading on the Ars blog that the performances haven't been the greatest, that the victories are fantastic, but the performances haven't matched up with the 3 points. So I want your thoughts about these performances in these games, because it doesn't sound like they're at the level that you need to be, but you're getting all 3 points, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, they've been very kind of busy, I think, is the way I put it, in terms of how they've been playing. A lot of these games they've been very slow starting, and tend to give the opposition a couple of early chances, which for the most part they haven't taken. But generally they've been better in second halves of games. And part of that, I think you kind of have to give Emery a little credit for. He's been very proactive in terms of making changes, and will often make subs at halftime, which Wenger never did. That's one of the biggest right. differences you'd see, really, that you could point at. So he'll often make a change at halftime, and in general, they've been better. They've been a little bit more in control of games in second halves. But yeah, generally, it's come down to, you know, they're not controlling games in terms of possession and in terms of dominating teams so far, at least. And a lot of it has come down to either individual moments. You know, they have obviously a lot of talented attackers, and it's been down to either some of those guys making big individual plays, or just a couple of them putting a move together, you know, for once, and just and being able to blitz and get in behind and get a goal. So it's not, they've definitely not been dominating teams, and it, honestly, it kind of feels like there's going to be a little bit of a reversion to the mean in terms of results, because if they keep playing this way, you know, they can't keep sustaining these wins with
right.
the level that they're playing at. So they either have to play better, or else the results are going to come back a little bit. But for now, you know, they're getting the points on the board. Can't argue with that. And hopefully, right. You know, the improvements will continue to come as Emery gets more time working with the players.
It's a work in progress, and it's great that you're working in this situation with winning matches. I mean, that to me is the best. Obviously, Fulham are not in the same situation. We're dealing with a brand new team, and we're not winning matches. But obviously, Arsenal is, and that's great. And your last two matches, I mentioned this to you off air, that I was shocked that the amount of shots by Everton and Watford were more than Arsenal. That actually surprised me. And then when I watched the highlights, Larry, I wasn't expecting what I saw. I saw Everton and Watford have some decent opportunities to get something out of both of these matches. And you told me you thought Everton had a very good chance to get something out of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in the first half of that game against Everton, they had really a couple of gilt edge chances, and we're kind of lucky they don't really have a good center forward. They have that kid Calvert-Lewin, who's a prospect, yeah. but he's not really there yet. You know, he had probably their best chance, and he just, you know, took too long about it. Walcott had a half chance. Somebody else, Richarlison, was ripping Arsenal apart on his side as well. He really was excellent in that game, and probably could have had a goal as well. So yeah, definitely, you know, Arsenal struggled against Everton. Again, that was another game where in the second half, Arsenal kind of got themselves together a little bit, got a little bit more control of the game. And once they got up, they were actually pretty impressive in how they saw out the game, because one of the features of late era Wenger was that, you know, even if you were Arsenal or a couple of goals up going into the last 10 minutes, you never really felt comfortable about it. You all kind of felt like they were going to give something up. But the one positive feature I'd say about the Everton game was is that once they kind of got ahead, they saw it out pretty nicely with relatively little stress. So that would be a welcome addition if that's something that he can add to the team going forward. But certainly, yeah, definitely, you know, Arsenal historically have an excellent record against Everton. They rarely ever drop points to Everton, it has to be said, which I know bothers some of my Everton supporting friends quite a bit. But you know, I don't know how much you can really ascribe to that. But definitely this time around, it just seemed like nothing was going right for Everton in that game, and that was Arsenal's first clean sheet of the season too. So
yeah.
That was nice, but honestly, the defenders weren't really in a position to crow too much about that, because Everton did have big chances and should have had at least one or two goals in that game.
Okay, and what I noticed from the Watford match, because Fulham have recently played actually both teams, Watford had some very good opportunities to score, but again, once Arsenal had their opportunity, I know it went off for Cathcart, but that was still creating chances, and then of course you follow that up with another goal and you win 2-0. And this was late again. And that to me is also a good sign for Arsenal, but it also tells me that you're like we're talking about, Larry, it's still a work in progress, but to win matches late is still something that you can look to as something to build on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and another part of it was that, you know, Emery made changes and as far as kind of bringing subs on, that kind of made a difference there, you know.
Right.
In this instance, it was Alex Iwobi who contributed a lot when he came on. He kind of gave the ball in that ended up going in off the defender, but it was a good ball in. And in general, he made an impact when he comes on, and he has been making an impact when he's played this season. He really looks kind of stepped up a level this season, Iwobi. So, you know, yeah, and then as you say, they were able to kill it off, get a second quick goal, and again, saw the game reasonably comfortable in the end. But, you know, again, it was another instance where the Arsenal defense gave up some big chances and were lucky to get away with a couple of them. Check made a couple of saves before he went off injured, and then Leno had a couple of saves to make as well after he had come on. So, you know, another clean sheet, but not by no means a defensive masterclass.
Okay, very good. All right, we've already been talking about a few of these, so I definitely want to find out from you the differences between Wenger and Emery. I've just written down, you were talking about changes, so I'm going to say, it sounds like to me that Emery's more proactive than Wenger was, and that, you know, again, that to me is huge. So let's talk about the other differences that you're noticing between the two managers.
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard to, you know, look at it and, like, point out the really big differences in terms of the way the team ended up from at the end, last year, because, you know, fundamentally, the formation is the same. Right. So it's basically going to be 4-2-3-1,
correct?
Which is where Wenger ended up last year after he gave up on the three centre backs kind of formation. So and it is still questionable whether that is the best use of the personnel Arsenal have. Right. As far as you know, is it the best use of Aubameyang when he's playing kind of out left in that formation? You know, is it the best, you know, how do you fit Ramsey and Ozil into the same formation? That's really been a problem. It's really been, you know, how about balancing all those attacking assets that they have. So fundamentally the formation is the same. You know, he's talked a lot about kind of focusing more on the high press, which we've seen a bit of, but honestly, not perhaps to the extent that we might have expected kind of coming into the season. Now, maybe it's something that, as time goes on, we'll start to see more of. But, you know, we've seen bits and pieces. It seems like they choose their time or their moment of when they do that. I mean, and I mentioned, you know, in the game against Man City, he played Ramsey really as at the top of the formation, and he was really kind of leading the high press. And that's been less a factor. And granted, you know, they've been playing teams that they would be kind of favored against, and have generally, even if they haven't dominated in terms of chances, they have generally led the possession stats more. So you won't see the press that much.
Okay.
It's been one of those things where it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see, particularly as come up against stronger teams with the high press. Otherwise, there's definitely been more of a focus on playing out from the back, which has been a bit ropey at times. Cech has struggled.
Unfortunately, I know what that's like, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, Cech has struggled for sure with dealing with some of you know, the opposition pressing, coming in on him. And we've been very lucky in the first few games that we didn't give up a couple of goals off some very good chances that the opposition had as a result of that, either as a result of stray passes or miscontrols or whatever else. So, they've been improved a little bit, but there's still a lot of work to go before we see a lot of benefit of that. Other than that, one of the things that you heard a lot from the players in preseason and from people kind of looking in on the team was how much harder they were working physically in terms of their fitness.
Okay, that's huge.
Which, I think, from what we know about Wenger and his emphasis on technique and sort of letting the players do their own thing, that's probably not a surprise. Again, I don't know that we're necessarily seeing the benefits of that as yet at this point in the season. It's quite likely, though, that that's the sort of thing that maybe as the season goes on and gets towards the end, maybe we'll start to see that pay off a little bit more, hopefully, towards the end of the season. But, other than that, it's generally, generally the style, the formation is the same. There's still an emphasis on trying to be the proactive team in terms of attacking and dominating possession and doing that. But they haven't been able to get a flow going attacking-wise yet in the way that Wenger's teams did. But by the same token, they're doing something that, again, late year Wenger teams struggled with, which is, when they've been playing poorly, they've been managing to eke out wins, whereas what often happened in the past few years with Wenger was that they would play quite well, but give up a couple of chances, probably give up a goal to the first good chance they conceded, and then struggle to, a lot of sterile possession domination where they're owning the ball, but really not creating much. It's hard to kind of ascribe that to, because I don't think it's necessarily Emery's intention that they fail to kind of dominate possession but still manage to create some big chances. But that's sort of how it's been playing out. We'll see how much better they get as time goes on.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a very interesting match. I'll just say this, because Fulham are a possession-based team. This is what they want to do. They want to dominate the ball. Will they be able to do that against a team that's what they do? At Craven Cottage, that's what makes this very interesting. And something that you said actually had a little bell go off in my head. You were talking about a high press. Now, Manchester City destroyed us with their high press. And for the first half against Watford, they did a very nice job against Fulham with their high press. And then Fulham actually changed the formation to a 4-2-3-1 from the 4-3-3. And it seemed to work. So it's interesting. I'll be interested to see if Emery decides to do any high press, but it sounds like you don't think he will, but we shall see. It did work against Fulham, so that the fact that you said that actually just got me thinking about that just for 2 seconds there. Larry, all right, let's move on, and let's get a little bit more into this. Let's talk about key players for you as we start talking about this upcoming match for Arsenal against Fulham. Who do you think has to play well to get all 3 points?
I think it's going to come down to the attackers, really. I mean, Arsenal do have a lot of, good options up front. Obviously, Lacazette's been playing really well this season so far. He's probably been the best player. And even though he started on the bench with Aubameyang in that centre-forward position, but Lacazette came on and basically played his way into the team to the point where he's now the centre-forward and Aubameyang is playing on the left wing, which probably isn't Aubameyang's best position. And Aubameyang is probably slightly better centre-forward than Lacazette, but he's slightly better at being on the left wing than Lacazette would be. So it's kind of one of those things. So, I think looking at those guys, and we'll have to see who is otherwise playing in that behind that striker in those other three attacking positions. We'll see. I know that Mkhitaryan is not traveling for the Europa League game this week, so that kind of suggests to me there's a decent chance that he might start against Fulham, even though he hasn't started the last couple of games, which I kind of like to see, because I think that I've kind of come to the conclusion that Ramsey and Ozil cannot play in the same team. They just don't balance well. You know, if Ozil plays out on the right, it he keeps drifting in fields to where he, you know, to find space where he wants to be.
I'm a big fan of Aaron Ramsey's, by the way. Big fan.
I am too. You know, but I think he has to be in the right situation. I mean, I like Ramsey as a player. He's probably not going to be at Arsenal next year. Contract talks have broken down. So chances are he's going to leave on a free at the end of the season. You know, the truth is Arsenal probably should have sold him during the summer because, they could have got 40 or 50 million for him, and now he's going to leave on a free, this summer. That's not great, I think the problem when it comes to Ramsey, I actually kind of compare it a little bit to Steven Gerrard in terms of he's capable of being a great player, but sometimes to the detriment of the team as a whole. And sometimes you kind of have to put them in a box to benefit the team. Like, and I kind of compare that to when Liverpool had Gerrard sort of in a box in that sort of right-sided midfield position, and they went on a great kind of winning run for a while there, you know. But, obviously Ramsey hasn't really reached Gerrard's level in general. But,
I know what you're saying, Larry. Understand what you're saying.
And I think if he's going to leave at the end of the season, honestly, like, Arsenal have basically gone all in on Mesut Ozil. They gave him a huge contract last year. You know, he's the most highly paid player on the team. So they kind of have to figure out how to get the most out of him. And if you're going to get the most out of him, you got to play him kind of in that number 10 role in the middle. I think they need to just settle on that. Ramsey's going to have to suffer through the end of the season and play in bits and pieces. I would like to see Ozil in that middle position and maybe Mkhitaryan on the right and sort of see how that plays out, and kind of go from there. But we'll see. We haven't really seen that that lineup yet, I'm hoping there's a chance we might see that this weekend.
Okay, very good there, Larry. All right, let's move on. Let's go to strengths and weaknesses of Arsenal. I want to get your thoughts on this. And one of the things I like to do on the View of the Opposition show is I go to whoscored.com and I read to my guests what they say as the strengths and weaknesses, see if they match up with what you know about your team. So I'm going to share that with you. And if you have any other strength or weakness you want to mention, feel free to. Let's start with what whoscored.com says is strengths of Arsenal. Very strong, creating long shot opportunities, strong at coming back from losing positions, finishing scoring chances, shooting from direct free kicks, attacking down the wings. What I've seen from Arsenal, that pretty much backs it up. Would you agree with whoscored.com's strengths there?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they have some really good finishers there in Lacazette and Aubameyang, two as good finishers as probably there are in the league. Definitely they've been getting a lot of favor down the flanks, particularly on the left flank. And they've been very left flank dominant this season so far. Probably partially because Aubameyang's down there, and I think the central midfielders are probably leaning towards trying to find him, particularly because Ozil tends to come central. So he's not exactly, he's not your traditional outside winger who's going to try and get outside the fullback and ping one across. Definitely on the left flank, they've been very strong. In general, for sure, they're better going forward than they are at defending. Both fullbacks will get forward.
Yep.
So that's going to be something to watch out for.
Okay, very good. This is what they list as the weaknesses, Larry. Avoiding offside, avoiding individual errors, stopping opponents from creating chances, defending against attacks down the wings, defending against through ball attacks. Now, I've just seen highlights. I've seen extended highlights. I've seen some of what WhoScored.com is talking about. Would you agree with these weaknesses?
The avoiding offside thing is kind of because they have somebody like Aubameyang who wants to get in behind, he's going to get cut offside. So that's, I don't know if I'd necessarily say that's a weakness. It's more of a function of the kind of game he has. But yeah, individual errors is a huge one with the defenders. You know, they've been given up a lot of big chances just based on defenders making mistakes, or you know some of the midfielders too. Ushaka in particular still has an infuriating tendency to dwell on the ball in dangerous positions, get robbed, and all of a sudden you have a midfielder running at the back four, you know, with nobody to chase him down. So, you know, individual errors is huge. And yeah, on the flanks, particularly on Arsenal's right-hand side, Bellerin oftentimes gets left on an island out there because, and again, this is partially because Ozil has been playing on the right a lot. And because he drifts in field, it means that basically the entire right flank is left to Bellerin to kind of own. So, you know, if you can kind of overload on that side and, you know, get 2-on-1 or just get even 2-on-2 or whatever, you know, Everton did that. Richarlison was able to really give him a pretty hard time in that game. So, you know, that would be an area for sure. You know, because you've got Sessegnon's at left back, right? Has he been playing left back or left midfield this season?
He's been both, but with our injury to Joe Brunt, I have a funny feeling he will be at left back. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he could be at left back for this match, because I'm thinking about exactly what you're saying. Down the left, we could have a little bit of joy, and Sessegnon could potentially take advantage of it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Schürrle kind of lean over towards that side, right, and maybe try and make hay there as well. So, yeah, down the flanks. And, you know, if I'm looking at that Arsenal from a Fulham perspective, yep, there's probably a couple of things. I'd look at kind of exploiting that side. And if, you know, I'm assuming if Mitrovic is going to be playing up front, I would be leaning towards Mustafi as centre-back and looking to exploit, because he makes a lot of mistakes. I'm hoping that, again, in terms of a change, I'm looking forward to at some point. We obviously have Koscielny to come back from injury, but it's questionable whether he, at this point, is going to be able to contribute in the same way as he used to. He definitely lost a step in the past couple of years with all his Achilles injuries, and he had surgery in the summer. We'll have to see how good he is coming back. But even if he doesn't come back, I really like Rob Holding as a young centre-back, and I would like to see him play next to Sapratis as a centre-back pairing, and you know, give Mustafi a chance to cool his heels on the sideline, because pretty much every game there's one or two mistakes that, you know, so far they've been able to get away without too much damage, but you know, it's only a matter of time. So, you know, if I'm Fulham, I'm looking at exploiting Mustafi. I'm looking at exploiting that Arsenal right wing. You know, maybe Xhaka as well. He would be the midfielder I would press. It's likely to be Torreira next to Xhaka. Torreira is a little terrier. I love him. You know, he's the guy that I'm looking to, you know, really change how that Arsenal defensive midfield works. But, you know, assuming Xhaka is playing, then he would be the guy you would press in midfield and try and get some turnovers on.
Okay, fantastic. And honestly, Mitro's a handful, so this should be interesting. I'm glad that you shared that. I want to see how that all plays out there, my friend. All right, let's move on. I actually have a little bit of a stats comparison for you that I got from WhoScored.com, where both teams are in the league. When I go through it with you, see what you think about where these two teams are in a lot of categories. There are just a few defensive categories, but mostly offensive categories. Let's start here, and let's start with shots per game. And Fulham are actually second to worst in the league at 17.4 shots that they give up. Arsenal are seventh worst at 13.7. Then we go to tackles per game. Fulham are 14th in the league at 15.9. And Arsenal are 18th at 15.1. Then we go to interceptions. Fulham are 10th at 11.4, and Arsenal are 16th at 9.1. Those are just defensive stats. Now let's go for offensive stats. Goals. Fulham are tied at 12th with 18. Arsenal are tied at 4th with 14. Shots per game. Fulham are 8th at 12.9, and Arsenal are 10th at 12.6. On target. Fulham are tied at 10th at 4.6, and Arsenal are tied at 4th with 5.6. Passing average. Fulham are tied at 7th at 52.2, and Arsenal are 4th at 55.4. Passing accuracy. Fulham are 6th at 82.9, and Arsenal are fourth at 83.1. Overall rating, where all the players are rated, Arsenal is fifth at 6.84 and Fulham are 16th at 6.59. We're 17th, so that does make sense. All right, Larry, what stands out to you for the stats between the teams?
Well, I wouldn't be putting my money on a scoreless draw, let's put it that way. I think, you know, I'd probably expect both teams to have chances. You know, that's kind of been the way it's going. I don't think Arsenal are, I don't expect Arsenal to keep a clean sheet at the weekend. I do think Fulham are going to score. You know, and I think in general, you know, there could be a few goals in this game. I don't know what the under or over is from the bookies on it, but I might be tempted to take the over if I was a betting man.
Sure. Okay, very good. All right, let me ask you a little bit about Fulham. What are your thoughts of them so far in the Premier League?
Yeah, I mean, I'll confess, I haven't seen a full-on game. I've only really seen highlights kind of here and there. You know, from what I saw of the highlights of the game against Watford, it looked like they had some chances that, you know, they maybe could have taken and didn't and got punished for it. You know, and that's kind of the tough thing. I think when you're a promoted team, the one thing I always kind of look at, you know, when you're looking at promoted teams or if you're looking at teams who are going to be in potentially a relegation battle is, do you have, you know, goal scoring potential in the team? So really, you know, for Fulham, it's probably going to come down to can Mitrovic carry that load for them? You know, can he nick them enough games, nick them enough points with goals? You know, is Charlotte going to be able to contribute enough goals or wherever else, or, you know, the goals are going to come from? So, you know, if you can, you know, steal a win here and there with just that one extra goal, that's kind of going to go a long way. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm actually kind of interested to get a look at Jean-Michel Seri, because he's a player yes. that had been linked with Arsenal for a few years, and it was never entirely clear whether Wenger was actually interested in him or if it was just his agent, because a lot of French players' agents used to use Arsenal as a way of kind of ginning up interest in their player. Oh, well, Arsenal are interested in him kind of thing. And it was sometimes it was a bit of a con, but I am kind of curious to get a look at him too, just because he was, for a couple of years, always turning up, been linked with Arsenal. So I'm kind of curious to see how he goes. I'm looking forward to getting a good look at Ryan Sessegnon too. Obviously, he's had a lot of hype over the past year. So I'll see if he can live up to it as well.
I think you're going to like what you see from Seri. Well, maybe not in this match, but just in general, because he's very impressive. And along with Mitrovic, I think he's probably second on the list as players that, in my opinion, you should be concerned with, because Seri can control a game. We want to play the possession-based style. Obviously, Arsenal want to do the same. A key to that is Jean-Michel Seri, and hopefully he will be able to do that for Fulham. And like I mentioned before, Mitrovic is a handful, and of course we have Schürrle. But going back to what you were saying before, Larry, about newly promoted teams, and I agree with you. Do you have the goals? I think Fulham have the goals. I know Mitrovic can score, and I think that Schürrle can as well. Just like you said, I think Fulham will have enough goals to be comfortable. I don't see us in a relegation battle. I think we are approaching it differently than many teams that come up that are just trying to survive. Fulham aren't trying to do that, and it's a little bit of a struggle right now because we're trying to find our feet. It's a brand-new team, a lot of players to learn how to play with each other. So it's not where it's. I think it's going to be in, say, 2 months' time. But I think Fulham's approach and the way that they are, I think, going to have the ability to score goals, I think will suit them well in the second half of the season. But right now, it's a work in progress. It's a different work in progress than Arsenal. Arsenal, obviously, is Arsenal. All right, before we go on to predictions, a couple things I want to ask you. First of all, the injury to Petr Cech, how big is that for Arsenal? Thoughts on the injury to Cech?
Yeah, I mean, Cech's been very good so far this season. You know, during the summer, obviously, Arsenal paid, you know, what was it, 22 million or something like that for Bernd Leno, which, you know, a year or two ago would have been a hell of a lot of money for a goalkeeper. But obviously, we've seen a couple of other goalkeepers go for much bigger money than that just this summer. So, you know, on the scale of an Alisson or a Kepa or whatever else, you know, it's not that big. But it's more money than Arsenal have ever paid for a keeper. And probably a lot of Arsenal fans expected Leno to start the first game of the season. But Emery stuck with Cech, and he's been excellent at all the primary things a goalkeeper is supposed to do. He's been very solid with his hands, made a lot of good saves. He's been as good in that regard as he's probably ever been at Arsenal, because the last couple of seasons, it didn't seem like maybe he was, seemed like maybe he was losing a step, but he's been very good. But he has struggled with some of the footwork in terms of, playing it out from the back and everything else. And that is somewhere that Leno specifically was supposed to be good at, right? That was an area where he was said to excel, in the Bundesliga. So we've seen Leno a couple of times so far this season. He was good when he came in against Watford at the weekend.
Yeah, he was.
He played in the League Cup game as well, made a couple of saves there too, before I think he got beat with a worldie by the Brentford guy. But he looks solid so far. There's been a couple of rumours and kind of talk coming out from the club that, Leno maybe wasn't impressing on the training ground, and that was the reason why he wasn't really getting the starts that we might have expected. It's hard to know how true that is, whether he had that confidence level, from the manager. But, we'll see. I mean, with keepers, it can take some time, and one mistake kind of lives with you for a while. You have to really earn back that trust after you even make a single mistake. But so far, it's fine. I think I'm not that worried just because he's there, because Leno is there. If I had been last season, we might have been a little more concerned, but we'll see. Cech's going to be out for a month now with the hamstring injury. Leno's really got a chance to sort of stake his claim, and he's only 24, I think, which is young for a keeper. He's got a chance to try and stake his claim as Arsenal's keeper of the future, because Cech is 36, and even after this season, I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be at Arsenal.
Okay, very good, Larry. One more thing. Arsenal are in the Europa League. So Fulham played against Burnley. That's when I could just tell that it made a difference, because they had played that Thursday, where you do the Thursday to Sunday. How much of a factor do you think the Europa League match on Thursday will be for the match on Sunday?
So normally I would say not much, just because Arsenal kind of have the luxury of changing out the team quite a bit, because the Europa League group stages are kind of a stroll for Arsenal, to be honest. The opposition isn't that good, and they will change up a lot. But in this instance, I think it actually might be quite a difference, because Arsenal have to travel to Azerbaijan, and it's something like 5 or 6 hours travel each way.
That's so, kind of why I'm bringing this up, because I noticed where you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he brought kind of a strong, I thought he might leave a few more players at home. Mkhitaryan stayed at home, Ramsey stayed at home, and Aubameyang stayed at home. I think Ramsey stayed because his wife is expecting a baby, and I think Aubameyang had a cold or something, and Mkhitaryan stayed home because of geopolitics. Because I guess Armenians aren't welcome in Azerbaijan these days. I thought he might leave a couple more players home, but everyone else travels. So even if they don't play, they're going to be getting back in the early hours of Friday morning, probably some R&R on Friday, light training Saturday, and then a game on Sunday. It's not a lot of time to prepare. So in this instance, I think it might have an effect. I think, the players might still be a little bit leggy, and, those slow starts that Arsenal has been having so far this season, there could be another one on Sunday. So, if I'm the Fulham manager, I definitely wouldn't look to be conservative at the start of the game. Like, there's no such thing as, let's keep it in the middle.
Oh, he's
of
not going to be. That's not in his DNA. That's Savic is not conservative at all. In fact, he's the exact opposite.
Yeah, so. I mean, he should definitely be trying to get really at Arsenal, I think, in the first 15 minutes. And,
totally agree with that.
Wake them up, catch them while they're still waking up, I think that might profit them a lot. We'll have to see how it plays out. Like I said, I don't expect a lot of those players. I think a good few of them might sit on the bench, but, all that travel.
But it's still the travel.
Effect. Exactly, yeah.
Still the travel, and I could just tell that it affected Burnley. That's why I just wanted to bring this up. I know Arsenal obviously has been doing this for years and years and years, and obviously can deal with it. But I was just thinking more on the travel and regardless of who plays, because if you have to deal with that, and then you have the turnaround on Sunday, and Sunday's match is at noon in England. So it's, you know, again, it's not even later. It's fairly early. So.
Yeah, I am glad that even though it's it's an away game, that it's in London, so it's not like they have to travel too far Sunday. But it might be different. It might add to the struggle if they have to go up to like Newcastle or somewhere like
that.
That's true. Fulham's relatively close.
It's very close there, my friend. All right, let's go to my section on predictions. First of all, I want to ask you, what does Arsenal need to do to win this match? How do they beat Fulham in your eyes?
The defenders have to be better. I think Torreira has been excellent. I'm assuming he's going to start again. He really, helps out a lot in terms of that defensive midfield area, in terms of interceptions, cutting off passing angles for opposition midfielders, and, providing cover and support for the centre backs, and he kind of covers out to the flanks as well. So, he's going to have a big role to play in terms of from a defensive aspect. But otherwise, whoever starts at the back, the centre backs need to stop making mistakes, and I mentioned Mustafi in particular needs to cut that out. I think Socrates is going to be back this week, so that will be a help. I'd be quite excited if it's Socrates and Holding instead of Socrates and Mustafi, but we'll see how it goes. And otherwise, it's just going to be a case, I think, because I do think Arsenal will get chances against Fulham.
Yep.
From what I've seen so far, Fulham are going to give up some chances. So, if Lacazette and Aubameyang and whoever else is up there, if they take chances at the race that they have been so far, I think Arsenal should be okay. I think this could be we'll score one more than you type of game.
Okay. And what's interesting is that you're talking about players that I've already seen that have those moments of magic, those scoring goals. Again, the game could be even, and then you have that difference maker. You have it, and you just name the players. And I saw an incredible goal by Lacazette. I thought that was a fantastic goal. I want to say it was against Everton. And then, of course, you do have goal scorers there, so it's going to be difficult for Fulham. So I understand why you were leaning on them. Okay, now I'm going to put you in the shoes of Slavisa Jokanović. I think you kind of already have talked a little bit about this. And I already filled you in that Slavisa is the exact opposite of someone that's going to be conservative. He is extremely aggressive. So in your eyes, what does Fulham need to do to win this match?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely try and start fast, press high, get in at the center backs, get in on, don't give Xhaka time on the ball. If he's feeling leggy, you're going to want to punish that and get in on him. Down that left flank, see if you can get overloads on Bellerin, or catch him out if he's, if he's attacking and get that counter attack down that left flank, if you like. I'd really just look for them to be aggressive at the start, because okay. I think if Fulham are going to win that game, I think they need to be going in front at halftime. I don't think they can count on, I don't think they can count on, winning it in the second half. I think they need to get in early, take the chances that probably will come, and make the most of them.
Okay, excellent. All right, Larry, give me your prediction for this match.
I'm going to say 1-1 halftime, 3-1 to Arsenal at full time. I am confident just because the attackers have been in such good form. I think Lacazette and Aubameyang, I think they'll get enough chances to do it.
Okay. All right. It's funny because I've been wrong often because Fulham season hasn't been starting off the way that I had hoped. And a big part of me wants to go for a draw here, say 1-1 or 2-2. But I'm going to go for a Fulham victory because I think Fulham are due to beat a top team. I think that they've had times where they've looked good against Tottenham. They've had times where they look good against Everton. Obviously, I don't think Everton's at the level of Arsenal. So I think that they have this opportunity to really prove at home, because some of these matches against Manchester City, which they looked horrible against, and of course against Tottenham, were on the road, and Everton on the road. This is at home. They're playing a top team at home. and they're going to be up for this. So I'm going to go for the upset, Larry. I'm going to say 2-1 to Fulham. Could be wrong here, but I see some growth of the team. I definitely see some issues, and we have some problems going into this match with injuries. I think they're going to pull this off. So I'm going with a 2-1 upset, but I certainly understand why you went for a 3-1 Arsenal victory. Listen, Larry, before we go, I just want to thank you for doing this with me.
Yeah, no problem. It was fun. Always enjoy waffling around about Arsenal. I hope I didn't hope I didn't bore your listeners too much.
I don't think you did at all. You were great there, my friend. Let's wrap this up. For my guest, Larry Guinan, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.